Good morning.
Good morning.
Are there any announcements this morning? Any announcements at all? Any visitors? If we bow our head for worship, prepare ourselves for the lighting of the candle. Additions or deletions to the prayer list? So many on our prayer list, those that have been there for some time and those who are just being placed on our list today and just being lifted up in this room. Lord, we ask your mercy and your grace to be upon them. Lord God, that you would shower them with your love, Father. Shower them with your healing power, your presence, Lord, that gives peace and comfort in time of need. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask that your healing power be at work in their lives to restore. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity that we have to come and worship you. May we worship you today, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And Father, we ask that you prepare our hearts and our minds to hear your word, to be sensitive to the leadership of your Holy Spirit, and to interact together, Father, as one body, your church, called by your name. And we give you praise and glory. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Now help us to pray the prayer that you have taught us as your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and open your bulletins, I'll call to worship. Rejoice and sing God's praises.
Our God is an awesome God.
Trust God in times of trial.
Our God is an awesome God.
Rejoice and sing God's praises.
Our God is an awesome God.
You open your hymnals to page 97, please.
Thank you.
Let's sing that again.
Give us your peace, Lord, and silence the fears within our troubled hearts, that we may find peace and find strength for the journey. Our prayer confessions in silence. Amen. The words of assurance. Even the waters obey Christ's command. The one who brings peace to the seas will bring peace to our lives as well. Be at peace, for God is faithful to forgive our repentant heart. After our sentence this morning is, God, you watch over us as a shepherd watches over his flock. As sheep of your fold, receive our thanks and gratitude as we share these gifts. If the ushers would please come forward. Come on up, children.
Come on, boys and girls. Anybody else wants to touch?
Know that Noah was He will take care of us, and He will keep us floating, and the boat won't tip over if we let it. Okay? Now we have a little song. Excuse me just a minute, and I'll talk to you afterwards, okay?
Interesting. I grew up singing that song in church camp. We sang it every year, and I never thought about it till today. But I know that I was reading in here that the Lord told him to use cypress wood. Exactly. That's it. You know, sometimes I guess the artist has a little bit of leeway there. You know, you got to rhyme. So we got hickory barky, but at any rate, the scripture this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. We have special music. I don't know what I'm doing up here. Jennifer, why don't you come on up, please?
She's not actually singing, but that's okay.
All right.
I guess that's a real-time example of what the song's about.
There you go.
Because in the Noah's Ark thing, Jennifer emailed me a lyric in April and wanted me to, you know, put a tune to it and that kind of thing. And it really is about how we tend to lean on family, friends, finances, all these things, and God keeps saying, that's not the way to go. Just like when you were up there, if you'd have gone on, I wouldn't have sung it. You would have done the sermon, and that would have been the end of the thing, because that's what you do. You just move to the side. If that's what God asked you to do, you move to the side. So that really is a good real-time example of whatever it is that you're clinging to. I don't say let it be a warning, but understand that all those things can be removed, and they can be restored, of course. But just trust in God alone, because only He can hold us. Lord, you have blessed me with far too many things, a place to lay my head, friends, and a family. Lord, somewhere I messed up. I've fallen apart. Forgotten where to place my trust. I'm lost and I'm empty. Not sure what to do. I humble myself and pray to you. So this is where I find you, in my brokenness. Here's my heart, Lord, I'll let you do the rest. Lord, you are holy, only you can hold me. I know you'll lead me, mend this heart that you've redeemed. Lord, in your arms I'm safe, more than covered by your grace. Everyone's left, I'm humbled in this quietness. For all these broken pieces, Lord, I trust you have a reason, Lord. Falling on my knees, please just empty me. Empty me. That's where I find you. Lord, I exalt you. Lord, I exalt you. I know you lead me. Break these chains and set me free. I know you make me new. I know you make me new. Lord, you are holy. Only you can hold me. I know you'll lead me. Mend this heart that you've redeemed. Lord, in your arms I'm safe. More than covered by your grace. Everyone's left. I'm humbled in this quietness. For all these broken pieces, Lord, trust you have a reason, Lord. Falling on my knees, please just empty me. Empty me. Empty me. That's where I find you.
See you over there out of the corner of my eye, and I sort of figured something's going on, but he's not leaving yet. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hear the reading of God's word. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. It's sort of interesting how this reads, and how the writer of Hebrews, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, sees things that are recorded in the Old Testament. This Noah being warned by God about things not yet seen. To hear those words, to know that what he's really saying is that God spoke to him. He had an encounter with God. And God spoke to him specifically about the things that we heard this morning. Specific lengths, widths, heights, all those things. You know, the kind of wood to use to put pitch on it, just to make it waterproof. All the things that he was told to do. But Noah still had a decision to make. And that was whether he was going to trust. Whether he was going to really believe God. It appears, and we don't know this for certain, but it appears that up until this time it did not rain on the earth. The scripture talks as though there was a mist that rose up and watered the earth. And that it may be very well that no one had ever seen rain before. That's sort of hard for us to understand because we have this these clouds in the sky. And we just understand the way the world operates is that it rains. But if you go back and you look at the first couple of chapters, we got to remember that when this world was created, it was covered with water. What do you do with water that completely covers the whole planet? Well, the scripture says in the creation account that God lifted a lot of that water up and set it in the firmament. You know what the firmament is? It's the sky. It's the atmosphere. Somewhere in the atmosphere, God raised up a lot of this water, and it says that he separated the water up here from the water down here on the earth. And the place in between was called sky. So, that's a lot of water. I mean, that's more than just clouds. There's not enough clouds on the planet, I don't think, to cover the whole earth with water. If they were all to just, you know, disperse their rain. So, you've got this... So you got this water that's being held in the firmament somewhere, being held up here, and it may be that it didn't rain. That acted as sort of a protective canopy, and that the ground was, the mist was coming up from the ground, as the scripture says, and was watering the earth. Some people have even, scientists, some creation scientists have even said that it may be possible that's why people lived so long on the earth, was because of this protective canopy that just changed things. I don't think that's exactly it. I think it's just because God was allowing people to live that long until he changed it. But it is interesting, the time that he changed it was with the flood. And it was after that time that he set man's years at 120. So now you've no longer got this protective canopy. You've got atmosphere the way we know it today with clouds and all that kind of thing. But my point is that for Noah in his day, when God's telling him to build a boat, a big boat like this on dry land, I mean, everybody had to be laughing, if you will, making fun, ridiculing. Scripture doesn't tell us that. But you know what it's like today when we try to obey God. For those of us who walk in faith, we know what it's like to be out in the workplace
and someone ridicule you for your faith, the things that you believe in that you can't see? I mean, it took a lot of faith. You know, it says that, the scripture says that God spoke to Noah, but we don't know how he spoke to him. We don't know that he appeared to him in an angelic form. We don't know whether he put him in a sleep. We don't know whether he just spoke to him in his heart. We really don't know how he got the word. We just know the scripture says God spoke to him, told him these things. Anytime the Lord speaks to us, there is a decision that needs to be made, and that is, are we going to believe? Are we going to trust God? And many times the things that we're called on to believe are not logical to the world. They don't make sense to just everybody. I want to read from Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, to the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Man, wouldn't you love to have that written on your tombstone? That you were a righteous person, blameless in your time. Praise God. And Noah walked with God. Isn't there a recurring theme week after week about these individuals who are in this faith hall of fame, this Hebrews chapter 11? People who walk with God, who have a relationship with Him. Noah wasn't just chosen because there had to be somebody to build the ark. Noah was walking with God already. Noah was one of the few people living on the planet who was having some kind of regard for God, who was actually believing God, putting his trust in God. You say, how do you know he was putting his trust in God? Because the scripture says he was a righteous man, and righteousness only comes through faith. There's not a person on the planet other than Jesus that can live a completely righteous life in the sense of doing everything right. Everybody else falters in that respect. Even Noah, even Enoch, we talked about last week, the one who just walked off the planet and went into eternity with God. They're not perfect people. It's not that they don't make mistakes or that they never commit a sin. The point is that he had a relationship with God and he loved God. And he believed in Him. He put his faith in Him. And faith will take you where nothing else will. Faith takes you into the place of blessing. Faith takes you into the place of favor with God. It always has and it always will. God looks upon the heart that believes and trusts in Him. God sees that heart. God is pleased with that heart. As a matter of fact, from what we read last week, it is impossible to please God without faith. There is no other way to please God other than believing. I love that. I love that. I'm so happy that he said that, because if he'd said, well, if you do, if you'll spend the next 3 years just working real hard, I'll be pleased with that. No, that won't do it. That's not going to please him. If you spend the next 3 years and just try real hard to not do anything wrong, just don't do anything wrong, that's not going to please him. Even if you're able to do it, that's not going to please him. You know, there are a lot of people, I've run into a lot of folks. I remember the first church I served when I was ordained, 1990, little country church. There was a little holler right across from the church, little gravel road that went up into the holler. And there was quite a few houses in the holler, but there was one right back in the very back. And I went back to visit those people one day, and I'd never met them before. And it was an elderly gentleman. He had on his overalls and his wife sitting out on the porch. And it was the cool of the afternoon. And so I just struck up a conversation with him and started talking to him, invited him to church. And he said, you know, he said, we never have had much need for church. You know, we're good people. We live a good life, and we don't hurt nobody, and I just don't see any need in it. And I talked with them. I explained to them some of the things I'm explaining to you today, that it doesn't matter how good you are. That's not going to make a difference. But it didn't make any difference that day. I can't say it didn't make a difference because I don't know what happened later on. But it didn't make a difference that day. They didn't respond that day. They were just content to be back up in the holler, to come out every now and then for goods and to go visit a few family members, friends or something, and just be back up in that holler and just be good people. And I'm going to tell you right now, I could tell they were good people. They weren't causing anybody any harm. They weren't up back in the holler practicing sin. They were literally good people. And that won't do you any good. That does not please God. Faith is the only way. Belief and trust is the only way to ever please God. It's the only thing that's ever mattered. And the whole point of Hebrews chapter 11 is that he's saying from the beginning to the end, from those who believed at the very beginning, starting with God who spoke this world into existence, it's always been about faith. It's never been about good works. It's never been about keeping the law. The law was only there to show us that we're sinful, to show us that we don't add up to God's standard of goodness. But guess what? God's looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness will lead to goodness, but it comes from a different place. It comes from a standpoint of belief and trust. It will lead to a holy life. As a matter of fact, notice what this scripture said. From Hebrews chapter 7. Sorry about that. I didn't put it in there again, so you might have to back up. But by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark. Other scriptures say, or other versions say, in holy fear, he prepared an ark. Why? God is fixing to destroy the world. He has just let me know that he's fixing to end the planet with rain. You know why I believe it had never rained on the earth? I'm going to tell you why I believe it had never rained on the earth up to this point. After the flood, God gave Noah a sign, a promise, and it was a rainbow. And everybody knows how rainbows are created. If rainbow had already existed and Noah for 600 years had seen rainbows every time it rained, then that would not be a promise to him. It wouldn't be a sign. But if he's never seen a rainbow, then this is a promise. Now that we've had the flood, now there's this rainbow in the sky, and God said, that rainbow is a sign to you, I'm not going to destroy the world by water again. You can believe that. You can trust that. The issue here is that God spoke and he had a choice. Do I believe God or do I not? And he had this holy, reverent fear for God. And part of it was just the understanding of how magnificent and how wonderful and how big and awesome this God is, who is about to destroy his creation because of its wickedness. He was understanding for certain that he was serving the God of all creation. And God was choosing to start over with he and his family. He told him that he was to take all of his family, his sons and daughter-in-laws, his wife, onto this ark. He understood that the rest of the world wasn't coming along, that the ark wasn't intended for everybody else. When they got on that ark, Noah didn't shut the door. God did. It wasn't going to be opened again. It wasn't about Noah. It wasn't about Noah's decisions about whether he wanted to save others or not. It was just about obeying God. Holy, reverent fear that causes one to believe and to trust and to move. Another reason I believe that he had that holy, reverent fear, it wasn't just about this one revelation. It was about this daily walk that he had with God. In his walk with God, I believe that this holy, reverent fear had developed, as it does, to the point that we spend time with God, to the point that we spend time in his Word. One cannot really sit down and read the Old Testament without developing a holy, reverent fear for God. If you sit down and read the Old Testament through, you're going to come away with a more reverent, holy fear for God than you had before you started reading it. And every time you read it, your holy, reverent fear for God will increase. And I could say the same thing about the New Testament. But I'm just saying, the pictures that we see of God and the what he's asking of people, how he's asking us to live. Some of the, you know, you have these accounts in the Old Testament where they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and it falters and it starts to fall and somebody reaches up to grab it and keep it from falling. You don't do that. God said don't touch it. You can't stop it from falling. You had to just get out of the way. Let God stop it from falling if it's going to stop falling, because that guy died. He was trying to do a great thing. But God's command was, don't touch it or you die. He touched it trying to help, and he died. Just trying to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling to the ground. And he died. Why? Because God said, if you touch it, you die. And God's always going to keep his word. God's not a man that he should lie. God can be trusted. And we would do well to develop our faith in our God, to trust his word. I run into folks from time to time that I don't know how to explain it. Ran into quite a few of them in seminary. And I remember taking one class in seminary about rediscovering the teachings of Jesus. I may have told you this before, I'm not sure, but in that class, the teacher was using a book by that name, Rediscovering the Teachings of Jesus, and basically the thought of the class and the whole semester we spent studying was looking at the Synoptic Gospels, the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and deciding which were the things that Matthew said and just said Jesus said it, and which were the things that Mark said and just said that Jesus said it, and which were the things that Luke said and just attributed them to Jesus. In other words, he would start from the idea that you really cannot believe the Word of God. You can't believe that if it says in the Gospel that Jesus said this, that he actually said it. He was saying, now, Matthew said some of these things, and because, you know, he just needed some power behind it. So he just attributed it to Jesus, but it was really what Matthew wanted to say. Now we got to go back and find out. This was the whole semester we spent looking at these three Gospels. And the point was is to take everything Matthew said, everything that Mark said, and everything that Luke said, and set it aside. And then you would have rediscovered the true teachings of Jesus. Well, guess what? You could decide that Jesus didn't say any of it if you wanted to. Or you could pick and choose and just build you a whole new gospel based on a few little things that Jesus said. You could say, Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. But the rest of it, you can't put any trust in. You can't put any faith in because that was Mark, Matthew, and Luke. Am I making you sick yet? I mean, don't you just want to throw me out of the room right now? I mean, because that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, how can you do that? Why would you do that? Unless you don't believe the Word of God in the first place. This guy wrote a whole book about this, and we studied it. I'm certain that my teacher does not believe the Word of God, because if he did, he'd know better than to teach something like that. I run into people all the time who start from the premise that the Word of God is not true. People whose lives have no foundation. They have no hope. They have no faith. They have no trust in God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith comes from hearing or by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Think about that for a moment. Faith comes by hearing. Now, this is interesting because if you're looking at the New International Version, it says faith comes by hearing the message. But the words, the message, are not found in the Greek. Just want you to understand that. See, the New International Version is an interpretive translation of the Bible. What that means is that they take it and they write down what's there, and then they add what they feel like's being said. But the thing is that if you do that, you change the meaning. And this is one of those verses where it really changes the meaning. Because faith doesn't come from hearing the message. I can tell you a whole lot of people that have heard the message and never had one bit of faith. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the message. Do you get what let me see. Faith comes by revelation of the Word of God. In other words, Jesus said to people many times in His ministry, He said, those who have an ear, let them hear. Those who have an ear to hear it, let them hear. What was he saying? Those who are ready to hear me, those who are ready to, those who are hungry, those who are seeking me, listen, because you're about to hear it. It's about to make sense. It's about to come alive in your heart. And so he's saying, faith comes by hearing God. Or faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by hearing God. By hearing God's Word. In other words, it is the message that we hear that we have a decision, really. Sometimes it's a decision, sometimes it just confronts us. But are we going to believe it? Jesus said and made it clear, believe and you shall receive. You have got to believe the Word of God to receive it. As long as you don't think it's true, then it's never going to be a book of revelation to you. But once you decide this is the Word of God and God has something He wants to say to me and I'm coming hungry, now you have put on your hearing ears and you're ready to hear. And when the Word of God is spoken, that's why we read the Scripture, and we've all had this testimony that we have read this verse 1,000 times, but I read it today and I just cried for an hour. Or I just was filled with joy. Or I got it. I saw it. Why? Because you hear the message many times and faith doesn't come. But then you hear the Word of God. You hear it. You have ears to hear. And now faith rises up in you. And once you get that revelation, nobody can take it away from you. God is speaking His plan to us today. He has spoken His plan to us. He's given us a great commission. And many of us have read it, but we haven't believed it yet. I believe somebody's supposed to do it, but surely not me. I believe somebody needs to take the good news to the poor, but surely it's not me. God hadn't spoken that to me. Yeah, He has. Yes, He is. He's speaking to each of us every day. And when we put on our hearing ears, then we're ready to hear the Word of God. And all other hearing really doesn't matter. The hearing that really matters is when we hear God's Word. Because that's the hearing that brings faith. Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith is active and it is moving toward us. And it's something that we need to grab hold of. It's not, it's not every day, not in every situation that we're going to have the faith that we need. Think about the guy who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He said, I'm trying my best to believe You, but I'm still struggling here. Help me. Well, that's where we are. That's where we are sometimes. Really, that's where we all are right now. We believe, but our prayer needs to be, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to believe. Lord, give me a hunger to believe. Let me trust. Let me look to this as Your Word. Now, living God, speak to me the living Word of God into my life now for the situations I'm going through. That, when God speaks, then your faith rises up. The faith that you need to overcome situations and problems and difficulties and circumstances that arise in our life. Trust in the Lord. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. And as they do, I want to think about really, you know, what it takes to believe, to trust, like Noah did. Here was Noah, a man who had been confronted by the Word of God. And faith rose up in him. The Word of God came to him, and he chose to believe it. It was accounted to him as righteousness. And he began to work. And the whole of creation was arrayed against him. Nobody believed in what he was doing. Nobody trusted. Not one other person came along and said, "I'll help. We'll help you get this done. We'd like to reserve a room." Not one other person. Sometimes when we choose to believe, we have to be willing to stand up and walk alone. Heard a guy say recently, trusting God and believing God is hard work. Carrying out a great commission, it's hard work because it means sacrifice. It means standing by yourself sometimes. It means walking in a direction that nobody else is walking. And sometimes it's hard for people. I talk to people all the time and say, "I felt like the Lord was calling me today, but I just didn't get up and go." Listen, whether it's right here in this pew today, or whether it's at your home or your workplace, if the Lord's speaking to you and He's calling you, stand up. Be willing to walk against the flow. Be willing to stand your ground and believe God and trust God. You will be rewarded. God will give you fruit. He will bless your faithfulness because faith is what pleases. This morning, however God may be speaking to your heart, whatever decisions He may be calling on you to make, obey the leadership of the Holy Spirit today. Go against the flow. Stand. Be willing to stand and be counted worthy as we stand and sing. Lord, as we go from this place, may we receive encouragement in knowing that ours is to only trust You. The only thing we can do the only thing we should do. May we put our faith and our trust in You and be Your faithful witnesses, that we may walk in Your favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They better not touch it.